Good morning. I'm so glad that everybody is here. I have my two sidekicks today. I think our house is like the ducks. I get one duck and they multiply, and the kids are multiplying up here now. So so they all want to come up and say hi. Can you say hi? Thank you. There you go. She's got a little wave down. We're so glad that you are all here. If you're a guest, there's a piece of paper on the bulletin that says thank you for joining us. If you would fill that out and then put it in the offering plate, that way we know that you're here. And welcome to the family. From here on out, you're just part of the family. What is one of the hardest parts of winter? Trying to find what? Something to do, right? Because it's getting darker. You can't go outside and play in the garden and all those things. So it's hard to find something to do, and everything just costs a lot of money. And it's like, you know, I can't be spending a lot of money every weekend. So starting October 10th, we are going to have a movie night. So once a month, we're going to do a movie night. October 10th is going to be our first one. We're going to do it here at the church at 6, and we're going to show Overcomer. It's a sports Christian movie. It's a really good movie. So please come out, invite your friends and family. We're going to have a little snack time afterwards, some drinks and individually wrapped stuff, so no worries there. So please come out for that. Also, Renee, Jan's daughter, texted me. They are also on October 10th from 5 to 8 at Crossroads of Zion Church. They're having a free dinner. So you can go there, she said, early, get you a free dinner, and then come here and get you a movie. And Emma, tell your mom and your boyfriend, there's your dinner and a movie. So, you know, there you go. It's all free, so you can go and get a free meal there and then come here. We have the address if you would like it. They do eat in and take out, but they said they would help us out for anybody that wanted to do both. We could go early and get some food there. So please stop by there and enjoy some free chicken and taters and all kinds of good cooking there. Also, the ladies' night out at Lake James is coming up, so if you would see Jan for that, if you're interested in going, she can get you all the information for that. So let us open with prayer, and the band will get started. Lord, we give you praise and glory for who you are. Thank you that we can come and we can worship you in song, that we can just sit at your feet and hear your word. We give you praise, we give you glory for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. I'm glad you're social distancing from me. There's nobody in the front of the church. Afraid to get on camera, aren't you? Is that the thing? We're going to open with Thy Word.
Praise.
Amen. Good one and an old one. Old one and a good one. We got to stand now. Having a communion prayer right there. Lord, we're so thankful that we can be in your house this morning and lift your blessed name up in praise. We thank you so much, Lord, for watching over us and caring for us and being with us and in times of sorrow and distress. Lord, you're always there. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings of this past week, Lord, and we ask that you bring us many blessings in this coming week, Lord, and that we look to you and are thankful for them blessings that we receive, so many of them, Lord. We need to be more thankful for the many things you do for us, some things we don't even see. Again, Lord, thank you for this day. We thank you for the message that Jeremy's going to bring. We ask that you be with him in spirit and help that message reach our hearts and that we can put that message to use out there in a world that's lost, that needs you, Jesus. Lord, again, we thank you for this church, the freedom of being here this morning, Lord, and we ask a blessing on this country, a blessing on all the people who couldn't attend this morning, those who are sick and afflicted, and those who just can't be here, Lord, that you will bless them and help feed them also. Again, Lord, we thank you for everything you've done for us. And it's in your precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, in the grave is I hear the cry of
Good morning. I have a question for you. Have you ever been cooking dinner? In our case, we have all the kids. The kids are running around. You're trying to get everybody in the right place. You're trying to get the food from the stove to the table. You're dodging balls and toys and kids. And, you know, maybe it's just you and your husband, and you're trying to get your husband inside from working on the car or out in the field or whatever. And you're trying to get everything on the table. And as you get everything on the table, you hear the... And you're like, who could that be? Because now the dinner's been interrupted. There's the unexpected guest. You see, we come to this time, and we call it communion, but it's not just communion. It's the communion table. It's a meal that has been prepared. It's a meal that time has been put into, planning has happened, and everything's on the table. And we're sitting down and we're getting ready to eat, and we hear the... See, chapter 7, verse 24 talks about this event. It says, and from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Sophician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, let the children be fed first. The table has been set. The meal is prepared. Let the children be fed first. For it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, and yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child lying in bed, and the demon was gone. You see, when Morgan and I were preparing to do all the necessities to get the twins, we had to go and get a physical. And while we were there, the lady was talking to us, and she told us about this family who has the meal set up and waiting for that knock. But they have one of these at the table. And you're like, yes, we all have chairs at the table. But what is different about this chair right here? It's what? It's empty. They have an empty chair at their table just in case. And not only is an empty chair at the table, but there's a place setting at that table as well. They're ready to serve someone. That's what this table is about. You see, in John, and if you haven't joined us, I would encourage you to come join us on Wednesdays as we walk through John. In John, Jesus in chapter 10 talks about being the good shepherd. And here's what he says. He goes in verse 16 and he says, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. You see, Jesus knew that the table was set, but there was people that still needed to come to the table. Just as he told this woman, let the children eat first. And we're going to get into that in a little while in the sermon. Let the children eat first. Don't throw things to the dogs. He was testing her. We are the dogs. If you go through the Old Testament, this meal that was prepared was for the Israelite people, for the children of God, not for the dogs. But Jesus says, your statement has made you your daughter well. The woman said, yes, even the dogs, though, get something to eat. Jesus wasn't calling her a dog. He was testing her because, as he said in Mark, I have others, you and me, that I have a place. I have an empty chair to say, pull up. I've prepared this meal for you. There's no surprise knocks at the door. There's no, sorry, we're full. We don't have enough. No, instead, he takes the bread and he breaks it and says, this bread is my body, which is broken for you. And he takes the cup and he pours it and says, this is the cup of the new covenant. Drink it in remembrance of me. So as you take communion this morning, remember there's a chair waiting. The table is not full. It will never be full. Because there's a place set for you. So come, enjoy this meal, and do this in remembrance of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that there are no surprises. We thank you that the table has been set, that a place has been prepared, and that the table can never be full, that there's always room for one more. Thank you for going and finding us, to bring us in, inviting us to your table. Lord, let us take this meal and not just take it as something we do every Sunday, but let us take it understanding what it costs and what it means to us that we are free, we are forgiven, and that we are a child of you, no longer a dog. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. I have two prayer requests, plus I have one of my own. From Kay and Larry, Marsha Birch, and granddaughters, it's Larry's cousin, a silent prayer request. And from Kelly Wagelman, for Gail Linnell, her aunt, she has cancer. She's going to have surgery October the 8th to remove the lung cancer. Returned to the lung. This time they're going to try to remove it. And she wants prayer for healing and a good surgery. And also, this week, Annette lost her dad, and we want to keep Annette and the family in prayers. And for my wife, she's been out of her MS medicine now for almost 3 weeks, and it's starting to really get to her, and she was up in the middle of the night with Raven because she's getting teeth, and she fell, but she sat down. She's done it more than once now. At least she just sits down so she doesn't, nobody gets hurt that way. But her medicine's supposed to be here Tuesday. Pray that it does. And I'm sure it'll probably take at least a week before it starts to get back in her system. But let's take these prayers to the Lord. Lord, we have those that are hurting. Those that have lost loved ones, those that are sick and in need of surgeries, and we have those that are just a silent request, Lord. We ask that you know the needs. Lord, we ask that you would take care of these needs and to heal them and to console them. And Lord, we just ask that you would be with each and every one in this congregation for this coming week and keep us all strong and in your care. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning again. To add to the prayer request, if you would pray for Grandma Dell, it's Morgan's grandmother. She's having a really rough time this morning, and we're not sure what's going to happen. So if you would just continue to pray for her. She's a believer, and she knows where she's going. But when we've all been there, and even the strongest, it's that slight uncertainty. She's a little nervous, a little scared. So if you would just pray for her and pray for Paul Roger as he sits by her side and tries to love on her and take care of her. It's much appreciated. So thank you. We're going to continue our journey through Mark. And as you know, we've been following Jesus. And Mark points Jesus out as the servant. And time again, we see Jesus serving. And not only is Jesus serving, but Mark follows it with the disciple serving. How do we serve? So today we're going to look at that. Again, we're going to see, what does it mean to serve? How are we serving? Are we serving out of duty? Or are we serving out of love? So we're going to ask that question today. If you would, open to Mark chapter 7. And as you're doing that, I'd like to read you a quote from C.S. Lewis. If you don't know who C.S. Lewis is, he was one of the major Christian, I guess you could call him a philosopher, an apologist, a strong man of God. But he didn't always walk that way. He didn't start that way. One of my other favorite authors, J.R. Tolkien, became friends with Lewis. And they had what was called the Gathering. And they met in a pub in England, and they would share their stories back and forth. And Tolkien would witness to Lewis, and Lewis would encourage Tolkien to finish his books, Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, The Silmarillion, all of these books. You probably have heard of some of them, at least Lord of the Rings, because of the movies that were out not too long ago. If you ever look at them, there's so much detail. Tolkien was like, I can't finish this. But Lewis helped him finish it. Tolkien helped Lewis find out who Jesus was. Lewis once said that anyone who has ever taught or attempted to lead others knows the tendency in all of us towards exaggerating our depth of character while treating lengthy our flaws. The Bible calls this tendency hypocrisy. We continuously or subconsciously put forward a better image of ourselves than really exists. The outward appearance of our character and the inner reality that only God, we, and perhaps our family members know do not match. We're going to look at that today. Do we match with what we say? Does the outward match the inward? Let us pray. Lord, we ask you to open our hearts and minds as we sit at your feet this morning. Lord, we take this moment to delve into your word, to walk with you. This is called your word, Lord. Speak to us in it. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Let us not push you away, but be open to what you have, that we can draw close to you, that we can be more like you. May you be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. As you remember, last week we looked at serving, and we looked at the feeding of the 5,000, one of the more popular miracles that Jesus does. And we looked at Jesus being the ultimate provider. And what does he do? How do we serve in feeding of the 5,000? Well, Jesus simply asks us to use what he's given us. What has he given us? He's given us gifts. He's given us abilities. He's given us his Holy Spirit, his very presence. And he's asked us to use those things, to come to him, as we saw in the feeding of the 5,000. When he looked back at the disciples, and he says, "You do something." In his mind, in his heart, in his head, he knew what he was going to do. He just wanted them to seek him out. So we're going to go forward today, and as we talked about a few minutes ago, this is going to be our verse. Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, Jesus doesn't mean this as a mean statement. He's not trying to put this woman down or her child. But society is. You see, society says these exact words. You've heard these words spoken to you. We ourselves may have spoken these words. We don't talk about eating and children and throwing to dogs, but it comes down to who's more important. I have to take care of me. I've got to take care of what belongs to mine. I can't just give it away. I can't just go and do that, because this has to take precedence. This is more important. You see, the term dogs comes from the Israelite people. Dogs means the Gentile world. You and me are dogs. The children are the Israelite people. Jesus is saying, I can't take away from the children of Israel to give to the Gentile world. What he was saying in that statement was that he first came to the Israelite people. His people did not know him. So what did he do? He spread it to the Gentile world. He came to the entire world, but he had to walk as an Israelite. He had to walk through the Old Testament law first. And then the Gentile world would be included in that. Paul would come along and spread the gospel. So when we look at this, we see children and dogs. But what do we get from this statement? We get from this statement that there's the unclean people. How many unclean people do you know? Perhaps the bum on the street. Instead of standing on a corner with your sign, why don't you turn around and walk into that McDonald's that's right behind you? Unclean people. Why don't you put down the drug paraphernalia, clean yourself up and put a suit on? The unclean people, the dogs. How many dogs do we know? You see, being outside of the covenant of God, the not holy people. Leviticus 19:1 says that we are to be holy as the Lord is holy. And this is where the children of Israel stood. A lot of times this is sadly where the Christian church stands. We are holy people. We give our money to small organizations. We'll come along and every now and then we'll drop some money in Santa's little bucket. But don't bother me any other time. I have other things to do. You see, but Jesus was looking at this woman, and when he makes this statement, he knows her heart. She came to him looking for help. She came to him knowing that he was the only one who could solve her problems. You see, Jesus is saying, this is what the world says about you. We've said this before. How many of you in here have a name? You all have names, right? We all have names. How many of us have done things that we're not proud of? All of us, right? We all have people that will walk around and say, you don't want to hang out with that person. They're nothing but. That's a but. You see, the world knows us by our sin. They know us by our mistakes. And that's what they call us by. You see, Jesus knows those things, but what does he do? He calls us by our names. When we talked in communion and we looked at the Good Shepherd, it says that the sheep know the Master's voice because the Master calls them by name. We all have names, and Jesus knows our names, and he calls us by our names. Let's contrast that with the Pharisees here a minute. You see, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, bring up a problem. Verse 1 of chapter 7, "Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem. They saw some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled. They were unclean, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly. Now, children in the back room, my crew back there, you still have to wash your hands before you eat. That's not what this is saying. So don't go home and look at mom and say, well, daddy said, no, you still have to wash your hands. Wash your hands. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there were many other traditions that they observed, such as washing of cups and pots, copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? And he said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy to you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. You see, the issue here is not these guys walking around with unclean hands. They're not, okay, you're eating with unclean hands. That's nasty. That's unsanitary. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about holding to the traditions of man. The traditions of man, according to the Pharisees, was everything had to be clean. Notice they said even couches. So if I come in from the marketplace, I have to wash this chair, wash myself, wash this chair before I can sit down and eat. Instead of just enjoy and eating. So if you invite me to your house, I'm going to pull out my washcloth and I'm going to wash my chair. I'm going to wash my silverware. I'm going to wash my dish, even though you put it in your dishwasher and had it clean before you set it before me. Because you're unclean and I'm holy. I'm holding to my traditions. But are traditions bad? Not all. You see, the traditions of the elders weren't bad. What became bad was when we put them above God. We can't do that because we've always done it this way. You see, in the book that Jonathan and I have been reading, Spiritual Leaderships, they ask this question. They put it this way. A popular means for modern leaders to find their vision is to copy previous success. They can do this in one or two ways. First, by repeating their own achievements. The easiest course of action is often the one already taken, especially if it paid off. But sometimes success becomes the leader's greatest enemy. And then he goes in and he asks this question, okay, we have to have this day is coming up. How do we get more people in here? So what we're going to do, Kim comes up with the idea, let's have a barbecue. We'll have a barbecue and we'll go out to the playground. Couldn't remember it. I was thinking picnic, playground area. And we'll have a picnic and we'll just set it out and we'll invite the community in. Sounds like a good idea. We all jump on. Connie jumps in and then gets the list going. We get all the food. We get to the picnic grounds. Monday morning, we sit back and go, wow, can you believe what God did? I think half of Eden, half of Edgerton, half of Montpelier, I think they were all there. That was awesome. Sunday comes and all these people are coming into the church from all of these areas. Wow. God is amazing. God is amazing. Next year we sit and we look and what do? You know what? Let's have our annual barbecue picnic at the picnic because last year it paid off. And it may pay off again. 4 years later, we're doing the same picnic that we had because it paid off. 10 years later, we're doing the same picnic that we did because it paid off. But 10 years later, we're not getting the same results. See, we get stuck in traditions. We don't go to God and say, okay, God, that was an awesome idea. Can you give us another one? We need your help here, God. We need something because we don't want to just keep going just because. We get stuck in traditions. You see, if you look back in Israelite history, the elders came up with this idea. There's this long period between Matthew and Malachi. It's 200 years of silence. Nothing happened except bad stuff. So So the elders went and they studied God's word. We have to protect God's word. We have to keep it safe. Is that a bad thing or a good thing? That's a good thing, right? We got to keep this going. We've got to know what God is. We are God's people. Matthew happens 200 years later, and we're still doing the same thing. And God's walking right amongst us. He's right there in our midst, and we're looking over here. What does, well, let's see. Section 8 of page 342, paragraph 7 says, and right there is the one that we should be asking. See, we get stuck in traditions. So we look to people, we look to serving, and we say, how can we serve? Well, we served this way. We've done this way ever since. So we have to serve this way. But Jesus is like, wait. By serving this way, you're looking at the traditions of man. You're not looking to me. And what happens? A real life example walks into his midst. And this woman walks in begging Jesus for her daughter. And he says, the children come first. Can't deal with the dogs. And this woman says, dog that I may be, but the dogs still get to eat. They get the crumbs. At least they get something. And Jesus is like, exactly. And you're going to get more than just a crumb. Your daughter's healed. Because Jesus looked to heal. He looked at people. He didn't look at simply the outside. He didn't simply look at where someone comes from. But he looked at people. Because God is about people. What does it say? It says to love. When I was little, one of my favorite songs my mom sings, and she would go around to different churches and she would sing, and there's a B.J. Thomas song, Using Things and Loving People. It was sort of our song together, and it's amazing that I'm standing here after that day, because I got this brilliant idea that I wanted to sing with her. I can't sing, but, you know, being a child, it was like, it'll be okay. So I got up there with her, and I had a small little part, Using Things and Loving People, not the other way around, and came to my part, and I cried instead of singing. But I stood there and held it out. So that song is what we need to know. How have we gotten to using people and loving things? It's supposed to be the other way around. We're supposed to be using things. How can I use this for your glory, God? To love this person that's unlovable. To love this person that's no one like me. You see, he says in this chapter, it says, what defiles a person? What defiles a person? He says in verse 14, and he called the people to him again and said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand there is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the thing that comes out of a person are what defile him. You see, where someone comes from, what someone looks like, can't defile that person. I want to show you this short video, and I saved the, Morgan will know as soon as she sees it, I saved the gross part, put it aside, but these two guys, they do the show called Good Mythical Morning, and I told Jonathan he needs to do it in youth group, and they come up with these crazy ideas, and they have Willets. This one's called Willet Jell-O. So they start off very easy, like Twinkies. Well, Twinkies Jell-O, and they make Jell-O out of Twinkies, and they taste test it. And then they work their way up to grosser things. The end of this one's fish eyeballs. You can watch the video if you want to see that part. I went in the middle. So I want you to see this. This is Willet Hamburger. Or Will Hamburger Jell-O.
Willet Jell-O? We made a fully cooked hamburger smoothie. And then added gelatin and poured it into the Bundt mold. And then the meat still went to the bottom, which now becomes the top when you invert it. So it looks awesome, Chase.
I mean, nobody,
good work. Oh, man.
Nobody eats their burgers without condiments on it.
So the bottom is like meat juice, and the top is more of a meat
heads up,
Jell-O.
Wasabi.
Is there cheese in it?
We should have put cheese. I'm not done.
It's not a cheeseburger. It's just hamburger.
Oh. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. Let's just leave that there. Don't give it a nice love pat, man. All right, so.
Oh, I like that. Yeah,
I'm tempted
that
to.
That's
like,
smart.
That's called. That's called workmanship right there. Oh, you can see it on that side.
You gonna go for the whole kit and caboodle? Should I get a slice myself?
No, that's too big. I'm gonna half this, but I'm gonna dip your half in whatever that stuff floating in the middle is.
We got people gagging off camera. He's out there about to gag. He's like 8 feet away from this.
Oh, this is just like 4th of July in a cold place.
Yeah.
Okay, dink it.
It smells bad.
Wiggly. It's like it's trying to dodge. What? What happened? It backfired. What do you mean it backfired?
I tried to get it down. It backfired.
Oh. Where is it now?
All in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it right there.
It dances around and it dodges your teeth when you try to chew it.
I legitimately
like it's alive.
Had an involuntary backfire of my digestive system.
I thought you were going to bang your head on the table.
No, I mean, like, that was totally unplanned. It was like, try to swallow, bam! I will say that a little bit of mustard did a trick.
Goes a long way. So whenever you try this, and you should, make sure you put mustard. Will it jello?
Oh, no.
Okay, why not?
So we're going to have that at the next church get together, Jell-O hamburger. But notice that's not a good combination. But it did it defile the man? It didn't defile the man. It just went in, and as Rhett said, you know, it backfired and was going to come back. But it didn't defile the man because it's just food. It's what comes out. It's the heart of the man that defiles the man. And that's what Jesus wants us to look at. And he wants us to see what is the heart. Because that's one thing that the Pharisees couldn't get in their head. We're holy. You're the defiled one because of what you eat, because of what you look like, because of where you came from. But God over and over again wants us to understand this. Luke chapter 6, he says, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor grapes gathered from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." So we look and we go, okay, that person's saying those bad words. That person is saying all of these things, so he's evil. So there you go. I have my clear-cut line. I can stay away. But God doesn't exactly work like that, does he? Jeremiah 17 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, Yahweh, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his deed." You see here in Jeremiah, he's saying, my heart's wicked. Your heart's wicked. Your heart's wicked. See that line that we drew in the sand of, because you say those things, because you act that way, you have this evil heart, so you're evil. Yes, I got my line. That line just in Jeremiah just got wiped away. We're back in the same boat again. You see, think about it this way. You saw cute little Jovi Lynn up here, how sweet and she is. But think about this a minute. We've all been around little ones like that. When they want something, they want it, right? You should check out our dinner table sometimes when the food is sitting right there in front of her and we're over here eating the chips and the chips are on the plate. I want a chip. The chip's on your plate. I want the chip now. The chip is on your plate. And it gets louder. I want the chip. She wants you to take a chip out of the bag and hand it to her, even though it's right there on the plate. She wants it now. Now think about that little girl. She can't take what she wants. She's too little, right? But you give her Ty's strength. What is she going to do if left to her own? If she has Ty's strength being that little, what is she going to do? She's going to take it. And you're not getting in her way. If a little one that little has that ability, how can we look at anyone and say, I'm better than you? I can't serve you. You're unclean. We can't. Because even at that small, little age, if she has the ability to take it, she's going to take it. Because I want it now, and I want it because it's mine. The heart is deceitful above all things. So the question is, where is our heart? Because Matthew asks in chapter 6, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is our heart on the things of the Lord? See, the disciples were in this boat looking at this going, okay, traditions of man, this is the way we've always been, we're stuck in the middle. These disciples were no special people. If you follow these disciples, they were everyday people. Look at good old Peter. Peter, who makes the greatest statement ever, what's he do that one faithful night? You're not touching what's mine. It's mine and I want it now and you're not going to get it, so I'm going to kill you. Fortunately, he misses and cuts the guy's ear off instead of slices in between the head where he was aiming. Because it's mine and I want it now. Meaning Jesus. Jesus is mine and you're not touching him. So these disciples were no special people. But being with Jesus, staying with Jesus, getting into the Word, as it were, their hearts started to change. They started to desire more of the things that Jesus had, the more of the things that Jesus walked in. They wanted that. And they began to understand that if I want the full life, if I want it and I want it now, then I better want Jesus and want Him now. Because of all this other thing, somebody bigger, somebody uglier is going to take it away from me. Somebody's going to come along and say, I'm better than you, and what are you going to do about it? And so they had to learn, and they started to learn, and they started to walk in love. As John 13 says, they will know that you are my disciples by your love. You see, the greatest man walked this earth. Jesus, being a man, being fully God, stepped into this earth. And look at what he could have done. Look at what he could have done. Just that one instance when he's standing before one of the greatest people ever, Pilate. And Pilate looks at him and says, why don't you speak? Do you not know I have the ability? Jesus could have looked at him and says, I'll show you ability. Down, up, down, up. And Pilate would have done this number. Wall. And against the wall he would have gone. Jesus could have done that, but what did he do? He stood there quiet and he said, the only power you have is what was given to you. He stood there quiet. The man who had the ability, because he was God, had the ability. He held the ability back and he chose instead to love. He chose to hang on that cross and not say, God, curse them all. We'll start with the next generation and we'll move forward. We'll get the ones in the back. We'll get the ones in the front. But these here, kill them all. Let's not only rip the temple of Keratin in half, let's make it fall like Samson did and we'll just start over. No, he hung on that cross and what did he say? Father, forgive them. Not forgive this person and this person. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Jesus came in love. He told us how to serve in love. So again, Jesus' purpose is to go after that which is considered unclean by the traditions of the elders. He shows that this woman is not unclean. She's worthy. Because all people are worthy. And I don't mean worthy as in we pay our price. We're worthy because God deems us worthy. God looks at us and says, you're important to me. And I love you. So you're worthy to me. Nothing you have, nothing you can do, just because of who you are. And I made you. So your value is valuable to me. See, Romans 3 says that he, righteous of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all who believe, For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. You see, there is no distinction. God doesn't look at the world and call anything unclean. In fact, if you remember in Acts, He told Peter that, don't call anything I made unclean. It's mine. Jesus is the only one that can say it's mine. Don't call what I made unclean. So you see, it's only through the cross that our hearts are made clean. It's when we come to this cross and we realize, I'm not as good as I think I am. I'm not as holy as I want to be. I don't serve like I want to serve. And You did it all for me, who knows the list is long. If the devil stood up there with his list, it would, as John said, it would fill libraries upon libraries upon libraries upon libraries. There wouldn't be enough to hold all the nastiness I've done. But what do? You open that book and you see red, the red blood of Your Son, and you say, He's mine. She's mine. Why, Lord? Because my Son died on the cross. But Lord, why did Your Son die on the cross for me? Because I love You. But why do You love me, Lord? Why? Because I made You. But why did You? Because I love You. When we come to that point, when we come and look, there's nothing else we can do but say, I'm Yours. I'm Yours. And it's from this clean, thankfulness heart that we go and we serve others. We put away the traditions and we say, use me. Use me, Lord. For even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. It all comes down to two simple commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. I'm unworthy to be loved by God, and yet God loves me. So I'm going to love you, even though you're unworthy, and though you've hurt me and done some bad things to me, I'm going to love you because God loves me, and I want you to know His love. So again, we ask, do we serve in love? Or do we serve in duty in the tradition of the elders? Let us pray. Lord, we praise You. Praise You for a chapter like 7. Lord, help us to see as You see. Let us serve as You serve. Let us not look at people and judge whether they're clean or unclean. Let us see people as You see them, broken. Let us look at others as You looked at us and said, they are broken. But only You can put them back together. Let us see people that way and bring them to the One who can put them back together. Let us serve as You served the children and the dogs. You died for all, that all could be made whole in You. That we can stand and we can say, we are forgiven. We are redeemed. We are made clean, but only through You and Your precious blood. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jeremy. It was really good. Your prayer used up a lot of my communion thoughts. It's hard to fathom that, isn't it? It's hard to fathom the love of Jesus. We are so messed up, so dirty, so sinful. Even those who call ourselves redeemed, at least I'm speaking for myself, some of the things we do. But Jesus still loves us. He still died for us. and there's nothing you can do, he won't forgive you for. Jesus shed his blood on that cross that we may live and live abundant, that we may live free. Guilt's a hard thing to get rid of, but Jesus died to take every bit of it away from us. So right now at this communion time is a really good time. If you have guilt you need to get rid of, even if you are redeemed, if you need Jesus, right now is a real good time to find him. I'm not worthy to be up here making this call, but Jesus is worthy to save you. Let's stand and sing a song of invitation. Again, we thank you so much that we could be in your house this morning. We ask that everyone leaves here with you planted in their heart, and that we can be the shining light, Lord, be the light in that leads the path to others can find your saving grace, Lord. Lord, we know that you can get things done even through messed up people, and we praise you for that, Lord. And we praise you that your will be done. The day will soon come when we see Jesus again. Lord, I bless, give us a special blessing this coming week, Lord, and help us to keep in mind what you've done for us and all the blessings you've given us and the protection and the love that we see every minute of every day. And I ask, Lord, that you be with those who couldn't be here this morning. It's such a blessing to be here in your house. We thank you and we praise you, and it's Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
God bless.